In the last 2 years, we've been looking at the structure of the organization and have really moved away from the traditional nonprofit model to embrace a gift economy model.
Thanks for downloading the Arts and Healing Podcast. The Arts and Healing Podcast is a project of the Arts and Healing Network, an online resource for people interested in the healing potential of art. You can join the Arts and Healing Network community at artheals.org, and you can contact us anytime at ahn@artheals.org. Today's show features an interview by Arts and Healing Network Director Mary Daniel Hobson with Sam Bauer and Anne Vey, two core team members of greenmuseum.org. Since 2001, Green Museum has been helping people create, present, and appreciate art that heals our relationship with the natural world. This online museum offers a wealth of information about artists who are doing exciting and innovative work that directly speaks to the environmental issues of our time. Sam and Anne speak about the environmental art movement, giftivism, generosity, and give advice for artists wanting to engage the natural world. Recently, Green Museum has begun pioneering a new approach to sustainability as an organization by adopting a gift economy model. Their entire organization is now run by volunteers. You can explore this wonderful resource online at greenmuseum.org.
This is Mary Daniel Hobson, Director of the Arts and Healing Network, and I'm really delighted to be here today with Anne Vey and Sam Bauer of greenmuseum.org. We're here in my studio in Muir Beach, California on a beautiful sunny day. And I'm just really delighted to have a chance to sit down and talk with both of them about the exciting work that they're doing at greenmuseum.org. I wanted to begin by just talking a little bit about, maybe that thought each of you could just talk a little bit about each of your roles at greenmuseum.org and what you do there, and maybe a little bit about the history of the organization as well.
Well, in terms of our roles, we're at an interesting juncture at Green Museum. The organization has been around now for almost a decade, and in the last 2 years, we've been looking at the structure of the organization and have really moved away from the traditional nonprofit model to embrace a gift economy model. And in that, the foundation is really about volunteering and being passionate about service. And in terms of roles, because we're all volunteers, we don't have titles. I would say Sam and I are part of a core team that is looking at how to really share this new structure more widely, and we're in the process now of really looking at how do we open this up and how do we share this beyond this core team. And we'll talk about the different ways we're doing that right now.
Greenmuseum.org started in 2001, and we were an online museum, so we launched, and when we first began, we tried to follow the more traditional nonprofit structure, and you know there are legal considerations where you need a board and you know someone official to answer mail and stuff. But in the process of creating this sort of online resource and container for artists who are addressing ecological issues and their relationship with the natural world through art, we happen to also be connected with a growing movement of people all around the world who are addressing these sorts of issues. And so in presenting their work online and essays, events and opportunities and all this sort of stuff, we were able to really witness incredible growth in interest and exhibition opportunities and a growing number of artists addressing these issues. So I guess for us, the big adventure has been, as things grow, what do you do? I think that's part of what really inspired the transition to the gift economy that Anne mentioned.
Well, and what's fascinating is, as you know, Green Museum, I'd say going back 2 years, when it was still in the traditional structure, there was a sense of, wow, it's really hard to get grants to do the work that we are doing, and we have, you know, tremendous support, but, you know, there's this capacity to keep up is very trying and challenging. And so in this time where it seems there isn't enough we had to really look and say, well, what's the other way? What is the alternative? And the alternative was really adopting a, you know, when we talk about adopting a gift economy, it's really this grand experiment. And can we explore Green Museum in this kind of model and as an experiment? And what's so beautiful is that the underlying premise is all about really acting from a place of authenticity and generosity. And if we can truly serve and gift our passions, that's quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it opens up to allowing anyone who is interested of serving in this way and sharing their work and their passions and their interest in growing. You know, Green Museum is just an opportunity, and we welcome that. And what's an interesting time for us right now is that we're exploring a new kind of internal management system that allows for anyone to participate, whether they're here or abroad. And we've recently adopted a system called Better Means, which is an open source management model. And it is a very transparent management system where all the projects are online. Anyone can come on and see the kind of projects and see the kind of work that's in the discussions that are happening and can jump in. And our work right now is actually to create more of a welcoming process. So when people are interested, we can share with them a little bit about the gift economy, what it means to volunteer or to serve, and then to kind of help initiate an introduction to the different projects.
That sounds really wonderful. I really love the expansiveness of that model. I was wondering, too, if you could just talk a little bit more about what greenmuseum.org does exactly. There's the wonderful, wonderful website that you have that is really it sounds like the changes you're talking about a lot are really internal, and thinking about the visitor experience coming to your website. How is that changing over time? If you could speak to some of those, that would be great.
The visitor experience, I think, right now for anyone coming to greenmuseum.org is probably something that's more like, I mean, all the content that we've developed over the years is there. We've entered into sort of a cocoon phase in the sense of adding new content. In the shift to the gift economy model, we're really focusing on internal organizational shifts, as well as looking at a lot of the tech impediments that have been making it difficult to add, to really crowdsource the type of content entry stuff that we used to do, two of us in a little room. And so for a visitor, you get to see a website. There's a lot of information about artists and all that sort of thing. And then in the sort of larger world beyond the website, we continue to publish an environmental art calendar with Amber Lotus Publishers. It's sold in stores and things around the country. And we have occasional events and activities and things like that. And I think the big focus is really on the internal capacity to process enthusiasm, goodwill, interest, information, and resources, and to get really efficient at that, because part of the gift economy approach is that you work with what appears. You're not out sort of writing grants or hustling or kind of marketing your thing. An opportunity appears, nice people come and say, hey, come talk to us. So we do our best to appear. And that means that until we move through this sort of transition, a visitor to greenmuseum.org is going to see a website full of information and resources, but we're sort of on standby in terms of adding new content until we can resolve some logistical things.
Well, what's exciting about this process too is in our decision to really adopt the gift economy model, we reached out to, you know, friends and artists and colleagues in the community and shared our process and this kind of new direction. And the response was overwhelmingly supportive and really encouraging. And I think that in itself gave us the courage, mm-hmm. and the also to kind of check in and say, how does this really feel? And every time we said, yes, 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 this feels authentic, it feels right, it feels appropriate, and Let's do it.
And we've been doing it on a very small, organic scale. I mean, we haven't made any big announcements on our site. If you visit the site, you'd have no idea all this stuff is happening. So that part is I don't know, it's interesting.
And hope, you know, and that's a piece that we're trying to really wrap our arms around is how best to share this information. And once we do share it, we want to make sure we have the capacity when volunteers come on board that we can actually really provide a proper initiation into what it means to, you know, serve as a volunteer in greenmuseum.org, and that they are really touched as much as we are touched by this whole process. And I think that's a really important part, is that in this process, there's a lot of internal shift that occurs, and at least for me personally, I've had to ask myself a lot of deep questions about, you know, what does generosity mean to me? How can I really serve in a really authentic way? And what are those gifts? Mm-hmm. And how can I share them freely and unconditionally? And it's been a beautiful practice, and also on a much grander, well, I would say it's also given me a lot of courage, and it's a very exciting path, and I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. I'm really touched. Again, to share this enthusiasm, we want to make sure that we're in a good place structurally, that we can really welcome people.
And for volunteers also, it's a lot more fun to volunteer with an organization that's ready to receive you. You know, that it's like, oh yeah, here, you know, here's something that's easy to do. Here's something that you can work with, or making the whole process more convenient for people. And I think that what Anne was saying also, I think underlying all of this, the notion of service and the healing that emerges from that too. You know, obviously with the Art and Healing Network, I mean, it's a powerful vehicle for transformation, both of the individual, but also from our perspective, the earth. And our relationship to the way we live and the things we consume and where they go and all the rest of that. I think that for us a big insight was the notion that art as service to our communities and ecosystems could really be central to creating a more sustainable culture. And not only does it sort of ground one's own individual practice in things that are much more sustainable, because you have to really reduce your footprint. You know, if you're 100% volunteer run, and you're not asking, how does that force you to be more efficient? How does that force you to really look at why you're doing things and what you're doing them for? And so it really brings a special quality to things, I think.
It seems like it really is fueled then by passion and by love of what you're doing. I wondered if each of you could speak a little bit about your passion for environmental art.
I think what it's exciting to me about environmental art is my background has been in the arts for, you know, 25 years, but my work has been more focused in as an independent curator and developing art programs. And the opportunity to learn more about environmental art has really been new for me in the last last 2 or 3 years. And really on meeting Sam and having some really deep discussions around what environmental art is was really opened my eyes to just a sense of creativity that artists bring, and that it's not just art in it can be a lot of things, but what inspires me is the idea of collaboration and the idea that the artist has this deep sense of creativity that can bring to different projects, and the sense of working together to solve issues in a very creative manner. And right now, we really, I think, really look to artists for that creativity and that inspiration. And the more that we can help encourage that and encourage looking at really what does deep collaboration mean. And I think at Green Museum we're doing that as well in our own structure, as we don't want to do it alone. And we want to collaborate, and we want to hear what different people are doing and how, and be open to that, because we don't know the right way. We all want to be in a place where we want to do something meaningful in our lives. So how do we approach that? in this way?
I think for me, I have a background as an artist. I worked for 8 years with a collaborative group of sculptors called Meadow Sweet Dairy, and Henry Corning and Glenda Griffith and Alex Tereshkin and a bunch of other people at different times. A changing group of folks making collaborative art and site-specific habitat sculpture, presenting found natural materials as art. And in that experience, we obviously had a chance to really explore our own relationship to the natural world, and that's really where we got the idea originally for greenmuseum.org. Henry and Glenda were part of the board forming greenmuseum.org and really set us off on our path, and along with a number of other people. And I think for me, the inspiration that came from the art making experience, the chance to, in the last big project I was involved with, to work out on Southeast Farallon Island off the coast of San Francisco and create this amazing bird habitat sculpture in collaboration with the Point Reyes Bird Observatory scientists. For us, that was, for me, it was really not only a privilege to be able to work with the scientists and spend some time on the island, which is normally closed to visitors, to create a resource. It's essentially a sculpture made out of crushed or sort of broken up pieces of concrete rubble and stacked around a stainless steel blind. And it has nesting boxes for art for four different species of seabird. And there's a little doorway where you can actually walk inside the thing and then study the nesting behavior of burrowing seabirds from inside their burrows. And so for me, that, and of course, the public can't visit the thing. So it's really designed for the scientists and for the birds. And what does that imply for museums? What does that imply for the arts infrastructure? That for us, this was clearly, I mean, we were really proud of it. The scientists liked it and the birds liked it. And how can we encourage the world or support the making of more of these types of things in the world, or their equivalents in a whole range of other situations where the artwork itself is not something you can share easily in a gallery or move from one place to another or even experience in person for your average visitor. And so that's why we created greenmuseum.org. And for me, the passion of that I shared with my fellow Meadow Sweet Dairy folks, making this type of work was something that we really felt the whole world should have a chance to feel and experience. And we felt that it was important to really the survival of humanity, in the sense of if we take sustainability as a species seriously, or the idea that human beings can be around for a long period of time until, you know, better alternatives appear, we really need to look at all aspects of society and culture and industry and politics and everything to see how they all interrelate. And we feel that art needs to play a central role in making the behaviors and infrastructure that are good for us also delicious and metaphorically rich and beautiful, so that people want to do those things and want to pass them on from generation to generation because it's just so compellingly rich and meaningful. So for me, in the past bunch of years, my big passion has really been the idea that we might need to, not only in the case of artists, really re-examining their work and looking at how they can collaborate or work with the natural world in new ways, in effective ways, but also really re-examining the types of infrastructure and policies that are going to be needed to make these types of artworks really work. Because right now, a lot of the arts infrastructure is still oriented towards the noun and towards the discrete exhibition where you bring a bunch of stuff in one room for a month and then write it up and make a catalog and then send it off somewhere else. And then the artist writes that on their resume and people talk about it. That maybe there's a way you can integrate groups of artworks into the fabric of our communities and ecosystems in ways that are functional and focused on not only ephemeral things, but long-term change. So those things interest me.
Wonderful. I think you spoke really nicely there to the role of the artist in environmental art and environmental change. And I wondered if you had anything you might want to add to that, or any advice for artists who might be listening who'd like their work to have impact, positive impact on the environment and on the earth.
Advice I've always found is very often for the person giving it. So thank you for the chance to work out whatever that is inside myself that wants to change the world or whatever sort of impossible dream. But Anne, maybe you should go.
Well, my thought comes back to really this process that we're in right now, which is a very organic one. And as with anything organic, it takes time and patience. Mm. And I've learned so much about that patience. And also that idea of, if this is a great idea and we believe in it, trust it and kind of see where that goes. And I guess the advice is trust, if there's a passion you have inside, trust it. And if there's a way, if you feel stuck, a great way is to serve. Mm. And in that service, things kind of get unstuck and something changes inside that allows you to take that next step. And I hope that Green Museum can be that place that people, artists or educators or just people who are interested in exploring would come to the site and find an area that they'd like to learn mm-hmm. and serve and have fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the what we want to engender at Green Museum is we don't want it to be heavy. We want it to be fun and engaging. And we've talked a lot about, since it is an online resource, the importance of gatherings and how we can really establish a sense of gathering so we can really meet and eat together and share what we're experiencing, because it's very powerful. And the more we can kind of share and share these stories, just like yeah. It's powerful to hear the stories of some of these environmental artists who have, working within the infrastructure, with whether it's a water treatment plant or other collaborative projects, it's the stories that stay with us and give us hope. And that, yes, we can do this, and we can do it beautifully and richly, and that's exciting.
And I think your point also is on the idea that when you have an opportunity to serve and to help others, I think it's a very powerful aesthetic also to explore as an artist. I think for us, ideally, if people can, as artists, look at what will help and make a difference over necessarily what they just want to do. And I think that's it's part of the practice that I've been looking at in my own life and really trying to catch myself. If I'm trying to do something, is it a chance for me to just market my work? Is it a chance to, and that's fine too, because these are transitional times. And I think what we really hope is that greenmuseum.org in this phase can serve as a space where people can kind of work some of that out and see what comes up. So I definitely believe that it will just beginning to look at these things. And some artists have been doing this for decades now already anyway. So it's not new in that sense. But I think that expanded sense of aesthetic, the idea that when you're making art, there's always both a human and a non-human audience. And we're used to thinking of the artwork as this sort of standalone thing that magically appears from the forehead of Zeus, and you're supposed to look at it. And yes, it has associations. You look at the image, you look at the, maybe the materials, you're supposed to kind of pretend like they don't matter. As to where cadmium comes from or where the cobalt in your blue was mined and how many fish were affected and what it means to move those things from Zambia or wherever that stuff grows. And I think the more artists and everyone in general can begin to re-examine the sources and origins of things and the stories behind the things and the gratitude that we all really need to bring to our awareness as to what it is we're actually doing, what's embedded in the materials we work with, the stories we want to tell. And in the end, if you're really making art that you want to heal the earth, to really make something that in the from cradle to cradle, or beginning of a big cyclical loop of existence, how would the worms and watersheds really benefit from this thing? Is this really the best way we can say thank you?
Thanks for listening to the Arts and Healing Podcast. You can learn more about the Green Museum at greenmuseum.org. If you like the music, it is from Robert Willie's Out of the Blue. To learn more about Robert's music, go to robertwillie.com. You can find more music like this on Music Alley at musicalley.com. Finally, for more information about the Arts and Healing Network, go to artheals.org. And if you have ideas for people we should interview, email us at ahn@artheals.org. Thanks for listening.